everyone. I'm Andrea Ferretti, and this is Yogaland. Today, I'm so happy to welcome back to the podcast Judith Hansen Lassiter and Lizzie Lassiter. Judith, as you know, is a PhD. She's a physical therapist, and she's taught yoga around the world since 1971. She is the author of 11 books, including her most recent Teaching Yoga with Intention. Lizzie Lassiter began teaching vinyasa yoga in 2005 before earning her master's in architecture from Columbia University. These days, she lives in Salzburg with her husband and her four-year-old twin boys, while she also produces yoga online courses with her mom. So the framework for today's conversation is the yoga of menopause. They are Lizzie and Judith, and their co-collaborator, Mary Richards, are creating an online course that's coming up all about perimenopause and menopause and yoga. And I just felt so compelled to talk to them. I used to get a little nervous every time I would talk to Judith. You may know that Judith started Yoga Journal magazine many years ago. And so I would see her around the office for years when I worked there, and I would always stand up a little straighter and try to be a little bit more, seem a little bit more knowledgeable when she was around. But I genuinely just leaned into this conversation today and enjoyed them both so much and both of their perspectives. The three of us really span the years, right? So Lizzie is just starting perimenopause. I'm kind of just going through menopause, and Judith is beyond menopause. So we had a great time connecting on so many things, on, you know, the challenges, some of the grief that comes with it, certainly the wisdom that comes with it, and the way that we can create a practice, a yoga practice, that meets us and serves us and becomes a refuge for us during this time. So I think you will really enjoy the conversation. I can't wait to hear what you think. I will put something up on Substack for us to chat about and talk to each other and connect with each other about, and you can go subscribe to that at yogaland.substack.com. Okay, I will see you on the other side of the interview. Well, it is so nice to be here with the two of you today. And I love Judith's idea of a little invocation. So Judith is going to ring her bells. We're just going to sit quietly for a minute or so and just kind of get present with where we are right now.
Hello, everyone. I love to do this, especially on Zoom, but in my life, whenever I can have what I call the pause, a moment's pause, to let go of where I was and to allow where I am to happen more easily. So I'm going to ring my bells once. So it's nice if you sit in front of your sitting bones and drop your head a little bit and imagine your mental attention going to the center of your brain. I'll ring the bells. We'll be silent. I'll ring the bells. We'll talk. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Judith. It's hard to actually just leap into things after that. So, as I said, it's just so wonderful to have the two of you here. Lizzie and I got to catch up a little earlier, and I shared with her that I adore your relationship from afar between the two of you. I have an 11-year-old daughter and we are very, very close. And I told her before this interview that I was interviewing the two of you and that, you know, you live halfway across the world from each other, but you get to work together. And I said, maybe someday that could happen for us. And we're very, very close. And she gave me a big hug and said, I love you. So I would love to know how it is working together. I would really love to know anything about working together, how it is, how it came about. And also importantly, you know, what the structure is of your working relationship.
Lizzie, I have a memory, a direct memory that Lizzie called me and she had this idea that we would do this quick audio questions, a yoga question or something, and some particular pose. It's like 2 minutes on a pose and you posted it somewhere. Do you remember that? Because I remember and she'd call me because we live 9 hours apart. She'd call me and say, Mom, I need 3 minutes or 4 minutes on Baddha Konasana. And I just start talking about it. And that's the, and she's great, got it. And she'd post it. So we kind of got the idea. And then she brought Zoom into our relationship, I'm sure. We started in 2015, I think, doing Zooms.
But you guys were early pioneers with that.
Yes, but
yeah, because we were so far apart.
Right. Okay. Right.
That
right.
made it happen. But what I like is that, well, if you look at us astrologically, we're also, she's Aries, right? She's Aries sun and I'm Pisces. I mean, that, so she's the beginning and I'm the end. Mm-hmm. And then we both have Libra moons. So I don't know if that's a metaphor you enjoy, but what I enjoy about us working together is a mutual respect. And we create well together. We say, we're just in creative mode. There's no criticism. We're just spinning out ideas. And she'll say, I really like that, but I'd like to switch the last two words of the title. And so we always do 100% agreement before we do launch anything. Mm-hmm. We get to that point, and so she works the way I work. If we say on Tuesday at 9 o'clock, I need to get on with you and I need you to have X, Y, and Z done, I do it, and vice versa. So I was in collaboration with someone who was like, would never have done their part when it was time. So there's those reasons.
Lizzie, you said something similar. You said your mom has always been just very respectful and open to working with you.
Yeah, mom is so generous with me because there's obviously an implied hierarchy in our, as working together, because she's been teaching yoga since 1971. And I, you know, did my first teacher training in 2005. So if we weren't related, there's automatically a hierarchy. And mom has always treated me with so much respect and generosity. Mm-hmm. And I think trust, I always say the trust is there because it's a family business. I say we do business by emoji. I can text an idea and then I'll just get the thumbs up back.
Totally.
And we have a separation of, we have a clear division of responsibilities. And so there isn't a lot of overlap. I'm responsible. What I'm responsible for, I do, and I get to make the decisions. And when mom is coming to teach a Zoom, she sends me her outline. I look at it, but it's always great. And mm-hmm. I don't meddle, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. So, and then when I run the kind of communications, the social media, the newsletters, what would be sales and marketing, outreach, getting people into the Zooms. And she, I feel, just says yes to me about those things.
Right, right. Well, it sounds really similar to, so similar to Jason's and my working relationship in many ways, because he's been teaching for such a long time. I've started teaching meditation, and I can teach a lot about creating content because that's what I did for my career. But I mostly do the kind of coordinating role, the content creation role. And I know exactly what you mean about like communicating, you can get the thumbs up and it's fine. When you're family and you know each other so well, you have that bonus when you're trying to communicate with each other if you communicate well together. So you don't necessarily have to have the long meetings and like the long presentations of explanations of what's going to happen. It's like, okay, let's talk about this next quarter and then everybody go with it. But I think it's great, Lizzie. It seems like you've really ensured that Judith's teaching will continue on into the future because you've brought it online and because you've got this big global online community.
Well, I feel so lucky to have such a talented teacher on my team. Like she happens to be my mother, but she is astounding at what she's able to deliver. And especially over Zoom last night, we were in a restorative yoga teacher training, and she's looking at someone lying down in Shavasana, and she brings everyone's attention to a small area about a circle the size of maybe a diameter of 1.5 inches, 2 inches, maybe 4 centimeters on their shoulder, and said, shift your arm and then drop there. And everyone could see it. It was dramatic, but no one saw it before. And then after the change, and the student said, I feel so different. I feel so relaxed. And it seems like a detail. It seems insane that that would make a difference. And I'm just sitting there thinking, like, wow. Mom, you're so, like, how did you see that? How did you just the decades of experience, the dharma, the talent, the dedication, all of that that mom brings to the table. And then she continues to wow me at her ability to teach yoga.
Thank you, Lizzie.
That's my secret power. That's my magic power. But I feel when Lizzie creates these videos and these concepts and these photo shoots and the design element she brings to our website, it's beautiful, it's clear, it's enticing. She handles the financial thing, which is massive when you're selling products all over the world with different money systems and GAT taxes from the UK. And I mean, I would not be doing this. It's not my forte. I'm not good at it, and I don't want to be good at it. I've got a closed mind. I feel so grateful that I have her, that she seems to like that. And our presentation looks so visually, in a visual world, so beautiful because of her insight. And I will say, I hope this is all right with her. When she first asked me to do that, would you go into business with me? She had a percentage. Do you mind if I proceed with that?
Yeah, of course.
A percentage. She says, Mom, you can have 70 and I'll take 30. And I said, I'd love to do it, but not that percentage. I want it 50-50 because you're going to end up doing a lot more work than you realize. And even if that weren't true, I can say that now, 50-50 was how I wanted the energy to be. Out of respect, because I knew she had put great potential to bring fabulous things to our work. And because I felt that would help her feel supported, accepted, to be an equal partner right from the beginning seemed like just simply the right thing to do.
But in case anyone's feeling nauseous, I mean, we are normal. Like we happen to both love yoga. I really believe I would get up and do 20, 30 minutes of yoga meditation, even if this wasn't my job every morning. Like this is just something that I happen to love and get to do as my work and happen to have a mom who can do it with me. But like I think we bring our best selves to the working relationship. And when we're mother-daughter, like we annoy each other just like mother daughters. I mean, mom loves baseball and always wants to talk to me about the Giants in San Francisco, and I like cannot get off the phone fast enough. Like, I don't care.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, the question I get asked all the time is, how do you and Jason, manage to have your own relationship outside of your working relationship? And so, yeah, you partially answered that. It's just a normal relationship with its ups and downs.
And I think if you pull back, the history of humanity is much more likely that people's kind of economic engine has been connected to the family, like in the farming model, in the agrarian model. Like in the in after industrialization, we have the idea that everyone should go out alone and make their own careers. But family business makes a lot of sense, and intergenerational family business makes a lot of sense because, frankly, I'm very aware that I started this business on third base, to use a baseball metaphor. I started ahead.
Yeah, really smart, really smart. So the two of you have an offering right now that I really want to focus on. And a lot of it's for selfish reasons, but I know that my listeners do too, because I've known my listeners for a long time, and there are a lot of women in my shoes as well. So you are working on content around yoga for menopause. So tell me how you decided to start working on this particular topic.
Maybe I'll jump in about how this came about and what it is, and then mom can speak deeper into menopause. Does that work, mom?
Sure.
So I remember that it being my idea. I'm 41 and it's looming and I'm scared. And so I want to learn. And I asked my mom and our wonderful co-conspirator, Mary Richards, if they would develop this course with me. And currently, we have a free mini course, which is restorative yoga to support your menopause and beyond. And that's available now. And then we're developing, creating as we speak, a larger course that will be available in May. And then it will also be available beyond that. But we're going to start with a big cohort in May. And that is just selfish reasons, as you said. I want to learn about it. And Mary Richards is between my mom and me in age. And she had a hysterectomy. So she has a different story to tell. I have the like premenopause story. She has the very instant
Surgical,
menopause and surgical medical story to tell, and my mom is beyond and has so much wisdom to offer that it's like, for me, it's one of the most fun projects I've ever worked on.
Well, there's a lot of in the yoga world, which in the United States, as we all know, is made up mostly of women. And there's lots of yoga for pregnancy, and people talk even about menstruation. But in the yoga world and in society as a whole, menopause is somewhat still taboo. It's not, hasn't gotten to the same stage. I mean, when you're pregnant, you can't wait to wear pregnant clothes. You like to show people, and people feel like they can come up and touch your belly. Like they feel like they're, that's, which is bizarre, which people feel like they're part of it, they understand it, but menopause is almost looked at as a problem or a mistake. And it's not a mistake. It's has its really its benefits. No one talks about the benefits of menopause. It has some positives. Now, some women, I mean, I always liked getting my period, and I know that's not true for everyone. So, but when I mean, just a simple physiological one, you have a higher iron count. You might have more energy. It's called postmenopausal zest. You might have more energy. you're probably at a stage in your life where you have the freedom to choose more of what you want to do and be, because you're not giving. There's a tremendous amount, if you even look at it on a caloric way. I've seen articles about how many calories it takes to grow a baby, how many calories it takes to nurse a baby. It's astounding. And if we're not doing that, or there's not the possibility of that, a lot of things open up to us. So, first of all, most people don't understand that there is something called perimenopause, PERI. It's the 3 to 5 years of the switch. That's the place where you hear all the jokes about, or you people talk about the symptoms. And then once you have menopause, you have symptoms of aging in general, but that it's that 3 to 5 years that most people, if they're going to have their difficulties, have it then.
That must be where I am. That must be where I
Periods are
am.
irregular, their symptoms, and they vary from hot flashes. In Japan, the most common symptom is shoulder pain.
Huh.
Now they're studying in the US, they're studying shoulder pain.
And they think it's a hormonal
Hormonal.
cause? Interesting.
Yeah, not just aging in general. And I also want to bring this up. I love elephants, Ganesha the elephant. I love elephants and have seen documentaries and read about that the herds of elephants in which there are matriarchs who are no longer calving or having baby elephants, the more of them that are in the herd, the more successful the herd is, because the matriarch carries the memory of where the water holes are and is like a grandmother helping with the young ones. And so there is actual scientific studies about the matriarchs and how important they are to the success of any given herd.
That's so beautiful.
I know.
I love that. I love
Right.
that.
And I think that we need to own and take and embrace this stage of our life, because all the stages have their pluses and their minuses, and this one has a plus. And it really has a plus often for people in the yoga world, because yoga people tend to not smoke, not drink a lot, if at all, maybe do other exercise besides yoga, tend to eat well. And so that's the key. That's one of the main keys to enjoying getting through and enjoying menopause, is if you're healthy in general. There's an author named Christine Northrup that's written a book, and I don't like the she's a doctor MD, and she's written a lot of books about women, and she's quite a radical woman. And she says basically whatever is good for your health is good for your menopause. And I think that's one reason it helped me, because my mother had a terrible menopause. It wasn't so bad for me, because I had been, she says, cut out caffeine for one. I know it,
No.
but
Mother of young children is
I
aghast
know.
right now.
In this,
Don't worry, Lizzie. Don't worry. You still got young children. You don't have to do that yet.
well,
Once
I'm
they
not.
get to be like 7, 8, things are a little smoother. Nobody's coming into your bed at night in the middle of the night anymore.
Your daughter's 11, so you're facing seventh grade. And let me tell you, seventh grade is the annals horribles for girls.
I know. I know. My daughter is so sweet, and she's very, I'm hoping that we can navigate it a little more smoothly than most. She goes to a really tiny little school, so there's not a lot of like social cliques, and she also rides horses with other girls, and
All good, but
yeah.
Lizzie told me in the eighth grade, she said, "Mom, last year you lost favorite parent status, like fa favorite nation."
No,
She said, "You
most
got it
favored
back.
parent
Most
status. No,
favorite
you have it
parent."
back. No, dad is
Yes,
out.
it
But
was.
to bring it back to yoga, I would love to hear, Mom, what, so lifestyle, but then what are some of your kind of yoga recommendations for perimenopause, for example? What are the things we could be doing more of in our practice, and what could we be doing less of?
when I started getting in perimenopause from 42 to 47, I was drawn to supported back bends and supported eversions, like supported shoulder stand on the chair, supported Viparita Karani, legs up the wall, and supported back bends. Those things were half of my practice. And I started talking to my friends in different parts of the world that were similar age, and they said, "You know, I've been doing a lot of supported back bends and inversions." Really, very experienced yoginis found also that somehow we think that that helped balance the hormones. I don't have a scientific proof of that. I have intuitive experience of that, and other women do also. The first thing I wanted to do is go in my yoga room was not do sun salutations. It was to lie over a bolster. And maybe what we were intuiting was the need for acceptance of the transformation we were going through. People see teenagers, they start to see the signs of someone going into puberty, they understand it, but no one can see that you're going into menopause. There's no way. And so maybe that's the natural wisdom of the body telling us we need to take the support of the props. We need to let go into the moment. And on a bigger philosophical viewpoint, a bigger philosophical viewpoint for me is the most important teaching of yoga with a broad sense, not just poses, is that our suffering comes from the identification with form. And that what we teach people in Shavasana and what we experience in Shavasana is we begin to step back from thinking and we can see that there is a space between our consciousness and our thoughts. The division. The clear division between identifying with who I think I am in the form state using thought, or who I know I am when I can experience moments of that deep, spacious stillness. And I think that as we mature in our yoga practice, while I still, of course, practice asana every day and so forth, I'm naturally moving towards deepening into that profound teaching of letting myself identify with that which does not change.
I love it.
And so that's part of what it means to live life fully is to be present with what's arising. And maybe I hope that our course can help people. And our teaching can help people be willing to be where they are when they're there and not fight the universality of change and evolution. Because with this stage, there comes more patience and more wisdom.
I'm really appreciative, Judith, that you are pointing out so aptly that there are just so many benefits to getting older. I'm 51. I'm starting to lose track. I think, yeah, turning 52.
That gets worse, by the way.
Wait, what gets? Oh, that. Yeah, I know. Like, need more fish oil. But I do feel that there are, I do see certain things about getting into this phase of life that are just so beneficial. And I think a big part of it is, as you said, like the wisdom, like the story of the elephants in the herd. It's like there's so much wisdom when you have older women around. I feel, and I don't know, I'm going off script a little here, but like I feel like there's so much more self-acceptance as you get older, that there's also inherently like less competition with other women, and there is more of like a community feeling. That's been the case in my life. And Yeah, I think again, this may be, I'm just curious to know your feelings about this, but I think also when you become less interesting to like the male gaze, it's kind of freeing. There's some freedom in not feeling like I've got to like zhuzh myself up and try to go get some attention. I want, you know, I'm much, I find like I value myself more for just who I am and what I contribute and what my talents and skills are.
I resonate with that, but I still like to put on my 3-inch slingback bright red shoes and go out with my guy.
Good for you.
And you are speaking to a former Texas sorority sister, okay? Mom
I
was Phi
mean,
Beta Kappa, so
I had no
she knows how
idea.
to. Oh, yeah.
So I no, I there's still
I love to get dressed up. I don't feel that pressure
I'm doing
anymore.
it for me.
Yes, I don't feel
I
the
like to dress up.
pressure.
It's fun when we go out for certain things. Yeah. But I just want to say that, you know, the whole lovey-dovey thing doesn't go away either. You know, it doesn't just stop. Sex doesn't just stop. In fact, did you know that the highest rate of venereal diseases now, sexually transmitted diseases, is in nursing homes?
I have heard this. I have heard this.
There's no condoms needed. Thank you very much. I got no, you know, the other thing that's really I learned that's so fascinating is we think that when you go into menopause, bam, there's no estrogen. But that's not true. You still produce estrogen, and it's important for our bone health, for example, and mood and things, and it's stored in fat tissues. So many women gain 10 pounds around the menopause and hate it, and it's really hard to get rid of, but it actually serves a purpose because the estrogen is stored in the fat cells of the body. And so it can help you. So you still have estrogen, but it doesn't break through to the level of causing periods or cycles. So you still have it. And what I suggest menopausal women do is, you know, during when you are menstruating, there's 3 or 4 or 5 days a month where you modify your practice and you don't do inversions and you do softer things. At least in the Iyengar method, you do quieter practices and you do supported forward bends. And I always felt that too. I didn't feel like doing, you know, arm balances and flipping around off the bed and back, you know, active. So my recommendation is that you take 3 days a month, like maybe the last 3 days of the month or something, and you act like you're having a period in your practice to honor the fact that there is still an echo of the cyclic estrogen. It doesn't break through to cause menstruation, but there is still fluctuation happening.
I like that idea. Yeah.
You know, what I was thinking as you were talking about disidentifying with form, it's this phase which is coming for me, looming. It's the first time when it's clearly about giving something up. Until now, it's been about, gaining things, going to university, working on my career, getting married, having a kid. Everything is kind of more, more, more. And it's the first time when I'm saying we're begin to say goodbye to our fertility, to menstruation. It's like the boomerang is starting to, it's midlife. It's the boomerang is starting to turn around. And there are things which, when, as you're pointing out, maybe the male gaze or that sense of sexual attraction with strangers or whatever the it is that we're talking about, it's like that, I think, is quite heavy as a, and that's one of the reasons why it's so hidden,
Yeah.
because there's a grief to it that we don't want to feel.
Right. I agree. I feel like, and I'm kind of in this phase where I think that's so well said, Lizzie, by the way. But, you know, I'm in this phase where I feel both ways about it. And so I think if we got to talk about it more, we could support each other in the grieving parts, and then we could celebrate the parts that feel like freedom, because there always is letting go involves is always going to involve some element of freedom. So I'm with you. Like, I think, yeah, I think it is being talked about more, and I'm really glad that it is. I happen to be really glad that I'm going through menopause now, when it is more of a topic of discussion, and there are more courses, doctors, yoga people talking about it.
No, I want to say, in a blinding flash of the obvious, 40, the age of 40 is middle age, because 80 is a long time to live in the world. So you're well into middle age. Lizzie's starting middle age. She's middle aged. I mean, Pete, I always thought like middle age, like that's like 65-year-olds. No, it's right now. And our country, our culture is so age denying. Think of the plastic surgery that you see in models and actresses and things, trying to fix it so it doesn't look like it's fighting what is. Now, I'm not saying, give up, but I'm just saying, where is the line between gracious acceptance and total denial? Like, about the age that we are. I mean, we should be talking to women about menopause when they're 35.
And this is what's so interesting, I think, or relevant for the yoga world, is that so much of the way yoga is presented is kind of one flavor. It's some form of athletic, flowing, exercise that is not serving the female life cycle in every phase. It's not serving us when we're menstruating, when we're pregnant, maybe when we're in menopause, you know, and yet we're it's that's all that's like the only thing on the buffet, or the only thing that we think we should be doing. I should be doing sun salutations. And when mom just said that thing about supported back bends rather than a sun salutation, I thought my life is a sun salutation right now. Caring for 2 4-year-old boys is just like running a business, aging parents, in-laws, all the things. It's like,
So
another
you want.
irony is oftentimes, and is that when the woman is going out of having period, she has a daughter that's coming in. One day, Lizzie came home from school and she said, "Mommy, I don't know what's going on with me, but I just feel like bursting into tears." I did all I could do to keep from laughing out of empathy. So that the other thing that the perimenopausal woman is exactly happening to her, what is Lizzie mentioned, like you're caught between the generations. You're caught between your parents are aging, and now you're starting to go into this new stage, and then you're raising children. And the needs of those two pulling can be pulling on you, so you completely ignore your own. And you go to a yoga class, and it turns into a competition of who can do the deepest back bend, or who can, I was in a yoga class once where the teacher said, and it was not BKS, we went up in headstand, and somebody fell out. It was very rare. And the teacher said, no. It's not a mistake to fall out. It's a mistake to come down. It's not a mistake to fall down out of the pose. It's a mistake to come down. Don't come down. I know. I mean, that's the exact opposite of what I needed to be doing at that stage in my life. I needed my yoga to find me. To comfort me, not just be another box to check off, another challenge to keep up with.
Well, the yoga lineage has a lot of macho. There's, it's just there. It's
Yeah.
hard to disambiguate where we come from that
Yeah.
energy.
Right. So, do you feel like part of this course will be like holding space for people and creating, helping them create a nurturing practice for themselves?
Yes. What do you think, Mom?
Absolutely. Women have the opportunity to let go, provided to us by the changes in our body. First, you're a child, and then suddenly it's very sudden. You just get your period, or you start to get breasts, and then men and boys older than you start looking at you and freaking you out. And it's the last thing, you have no interest in that. And then you let go into being impregnated. You let go into to let these two creatures, let's say these two creatures, or the baby is like a parasite growing in you. You have to let go. You have to let go to give birth. And my mother used to say to me a million times, you can't be selfish and be a mother. And your instincts are letting go into that. You're letting go. You're always letting go. And so I think that we're primed as yoginis to understand what it means to allow life to come through us. And I think we need to bring that light into the yoga world in the larger part of the yoga world, but also in our own lives and our own practice. It's going to change as you get older. It's not just menopause. Things that you did, you just don't want to do them anymore. They're harder. And your body, when you don't have estrogen, your ligaments get tighter, and you're not, maybe you lose some flexibility that you were so proud of. I was married to Lizzie's father for a long time, and his father had a ranch in South Texas. And when I first joined the family, he took me out in the pasture in the truck and showed me the cattle, and the cows would, the bulls were somewhere else. The cows would babysit for each other. Like you'd see one or two cows with like six babies, and the other mothers were far away eating. They sort of babysit, and he would beat on the side of the truck, and the cows would come up, and he would hand feed them pellets. He loved his animals so much. But the cows were babysitting, each helping each other, and there's that natural instinct that they have to do that. And I think women often have that natural instinct to let go and to be aware of others' needs. Not that men don't have it too, of course. It's just, certainly Lizzie does that all day long with 2 4-year-olds. When do I pick them up? What are they going to need? What are they going to have for dinner? Are there clean pajamas?
Can I find two carrots that are exactly the same size so
Oh
that
my
there's no
gosh,
bite
Lizzie.
at snack?
Your life, I have not even thought about that. Because everybody knows the toddler years are about cutting the food in the exact right way and presenting it on the exact right plate. And you have to do two with
And then
comparisons.
people would say when they were younger, and they would have these big fights. They still fight over stuff, but people say, well, just buy two of everything. And I was like, yeah, but they are fighting over the soup ladle. Like, I can't have two soup ladles. Like, they're fighting over everything.
Oh my God, the absurdity. Oh my God, there is so much absurdity in parenting. Oh my
Yes.
gosh.
But
But
what I
Judith,
love,
oh, go
yeah, go
ahead.
ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say what it sounds to me like when you were describing all of the things that so many women go through, that the practice can then be your own haven, your own respite for yourself. And
I
it's,
believe that's true. And this sounds sexist, and take it as you will. I think men go to the mat and thrive on challenge. But we don't, women often don't need any more challenges. We need refuge from the mat.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean we don't do bakasana or, strength things, but just maybe like one or two chaturangas, not 25. Like maybe we don't push ourselves quite so much on the mat. We
One
unfold
thing.
on the mat.
I love how poetic that sounds. One thing that's very hard for me in practice, Mom, is that I, in terms of wellness and thinking about my practice, how it's serving my physical form, I'm not very good at giving myself a few days of softness. I think, oh, well, I need to do my somatic strength movements, my little squats, and my, core training, and I need to stretch. It's about trusting that the softness is also serving me.
When I hear you say, I need to do my squats and my whatever, what do you think it would be interesting to say what that voice might really be as I should do? Because whenever we have the thought I should, I always notice that in myself and I think, whose voice is that in my head? Someone else's voice in my head. I mean, I got on the Peloton today for 4 miles and I really didn't want to, but I know that if I even if I'm reluctant, when I get off, I'm going to be so grateful I did it. So I'm not saying just softness doesn't mean a lack of integrity. Receptivity is a profound state of being. And to cultivate receptivity to the wisdom of your body, to listen in asana more than tell, is where wisdom comes from because the body is smarter than you are. You know, you've heard me say that a million times. The body is giving you information all the time about what it needs, and we're not listening.
Yeah, no, that's definitely my growth edge. It's like I feel a little something in my shoulder, and I think, but I should do 10 push-ups today because this is good for me.
And sometimes you should just shut up and do the push-ups. I'm not saying that, because and this is an interesting example, a dichotomy is a muscle does not strengthen by having it do what it can do. The muscle fibers hypertrophy. You don't grow new muscle fibers. You're born with them, but they thicken. They thicken with challenge. They grow strong with challenge. And that's really how our whole spiritual life is. Jesus said it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to get to heaven. Now, if we have the audacity to interpret that, is if everything is easy and there's no challenge, you don't learn that you have hidden anger. You don't learn that you're attached. It's like that image I use of, if you have a rough tooth, where is your tongue? You get a sore tongue because of the rough tooth, but the rough tooth gives an awareness to you. So a little difficulty is the moment for spiritual growth. As much as we don't like that, that's when we have the opportunity. So in a difficult moment, to listen to your wisdom. And to remember that most things are just inconveniences and not problems, overwhelmingly for most of us. It's just an inconvenience that I was at the store before and forgot the right time for our talk today, which really happened, folks. I thought it was later than it was. So to me, cultivating as I age, the ability to truly listen and trust my intuition is probably the most powerful and magical thing I can imagine.
I'm like Lizzie, I struggle with slowing down. That helps me to think about it more as intuition, tuning in and trusting that, and realizing that that should voice is usually an outside voice, the
Well, you know,
origin of it.
slowing down is the same thing as waking up. And we resist it because we have an endless list. You could scratch the top, now you're done with this program with Lizzie and me, and then there's the next thing. Now what's next?
Right.
Favorite mantra, what's next?
So has slowing down always come naturally to you, Judith, or is it something you've cultivated over time? And is it still a challenge?
I can imagine Lizzie rolling on the floor right now in laughter. No,
Yes, I'm
I
silently laughing
felt
because.
exactly when I had the three kids, I was teaching yoga, running a house. Yeah, there was, my big first big shift was when I stopped going to my desk at night after dinner to do the bills and to da 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 da. And luckily, we didn't have the internet. The internet is an energy time sucking thing.
Yeah, it is.
Our biggest challenge right now. Our biggest challenge right now in person and our personal growth. I mean, there's world situation and things that are really important, but in a personal way, that I don't let I prefer that people don't bring their phone to yoga class. I just taught a 5-day retreat in the Redwoods. In the first day of class, we walk in and people have their mat, they have their blankets, they have their, blocks, they have their belt, and they have their phone.
I'm so guilty of that. I am so guilty of that. And you're right, 5, 10 years ago, that would never be the case in a retreat, ever.
But I think that's why yoga.
Because refuge is not a place, it's an intention. And so I told them, let's make this mat the refuge. That's what I think the mat is for the perimenopause and menopausal women. In those few years, as much as possible, to think of the mat as not another place where you have to do more things, but as a place of refuge. Not a trade, but not a place of demands and challenge.
Yeah.
I like to think about how the practices of yoga are different ways of training our attention. So we'll train the attention on the breath or on specific parts of the body. Each of the poses maybe are different shapes, different forms of attention. And that's what, Mom, you're saying. And I completely agree with that the digital world is just this massive algorithm conspiring to suck our attention. And sometimes it feels futile. Just meditate for 10 minutes in the morning and then open my computer.
I can relate to that so well.
But I don't know what else to do.
Yeah.
I don't,
I have
I
the answer.
just,
I have the answer.
okay.
And if you believe that, yeah, I have this bridge to sell you in Brooklyn. But the only, I don't even want to say solution, but the only power that I think we have with that and with everything else is how what we tell ourselves about it, how we perceive it. Other words, right now I'm sitting down to do my computer. You know how it is. I'll just check my email. And then 2 hours later, and you run out of time to do your practice. So that the secret, the solution, the only path out of the mire that I've ever found is to be aware of what I'm choosing in that moment. Is this what I'm really choosing right now? Just that, what I call the pause. If we can cultivate a habit of the pause, do I really want the second piece of cake? And if you do, you do. But we get knee-jerk about the habits, especially with the internet. So I used to think of getting into bed, oh, and just let me check a couple things. And now, once I get into bed, I will not, I'll sit. Sometimes I set the alarm. Most days I don't have to, thank you, God. And I just don't look at my phone at all when I get in bed. I read a book, which is a completely different, luscious feeling of getting relaxed and sleepy and enjoying the book. And maybe I read 3 pages, maybe I read more. but it's bringing awareness to the choice. Am I living my highest values? Am I choosing this on purpose? That seems to me the only way out of the maze of life is
Well, I think we
being
live in
aware
a,
of the choice.
yeah, we live in a very, all three of us actually are, we live this kind of dichotomy because what we're sharing with people is about self-awareness, svadhyaya, self-study, slowing down, all the, what we're teaching yoga, but we're doing it through the digital medium.
I know.
And
I've been thinking about that
especially,
this whole conversation.
doing it through social media, where I sometimes struggle with that push-pull. I want to reach people. This is a great way of reaching people, but I want everyone to get off their phone, including me.
And this tension is where the spiritual practice lives. Because if it wasn't this, it would be 50 years ago, another one. And 50 years from now, it'll be another one. Life always gives you conundrums to allow you to evolve.
One thing I was, oh, sorry.
That's what it does.
One thing I was going to say, Lizzie, is the beauty of what the three of us do is we get to work from home. We get to not set our alarm some days. Well, for moms, it's harder, but I can do that some days if Jason can take over. I get to take walks around my neighborhood whenever I want. I didn't have that when I worked at Yoga Journal. I was in my car, actually in the 90s when I worked on the web, I was in my car 2 hours a day commuting to and from work. And then there was like a 30-minute loop around my neighborhood trying to find a parking spot. So there is always something, and it is kind of interesting to be in this world of delivering things digitally, and then having, I have such a richer offline life than I used to have, or when I worked in an office for more than a decade. So I am appreciative of that.
That's very true.
I have
And
one really small
go ahead.
tactical idea that I just want to share with you, Lizzie, because I just discovered I have started using a paper planner again for the first time in like 15 years. Now, I still have my deadlines for work on my Google Calendar, but I have this paper planner where I write down, like, did I do my sauna and my cold plunge today? Did I do my, and like, I have a gratitude list in there, and I have, and it is, and I mean, I spend so much time on this thing. It's kind of like a craft
Okay.
project.
You and mom are a match made in heaven. Mom is also a paper planner person, and she has stickers for her planner.
I have stickers
And
too.
she uses Whiteout. And I'm always, and it was so funny because I literally wrote you an email today because mom sent us all an email asking for the Zoom link. And you were like, isn't it in the Calendly invite thing? And I wrote a draft, but then I deleted it. I wrote a draft saying, oh, mom uses a paper planner, so she doesn't see the metadata in the calendar invite. Sorry. But then I was like, she gets too many emails, just delete. Like, just move forward.
And you know what? You know what? Having this thing, like if I go out to eat with friends or something, I get a little card from the restaurant or something. Like I use it semi like a scrapbook, and I use different
Yes,
colors of
me
ink for
too.
different things. And
Me
so I
too.
actually enjoy
I love it.
planning, and I can see the whole month.
Me too. I bet we use the same kind of planner, Judith. We'll have to
Franklin
talk about it
Covey.
offline.
No, Franklin Covey.
Oh, you use Franklin. Okay. I've discovered this. I'm giving her a huge like promo right now. This woman called Laurel Denise. I actually found
Yes,
it through
yes.
an Instagram ad. It is amazing because you can see the month and the days at the same time. It's like,
Know it.
and
What I want, I know our time is getting small here, so I want to say this about what Lizzie said. It's, and you've said too, is that I feel sorry for your generations. Is the social media? It's not just the internet. It's presenting often a picture of a life that doesn't really exist, of who you are and what you've done and where you are. that's all about getting the fake friendships of people you don't know, followers. Am I being too harsh?
I spend less and less time on social media as time goes on, and I try to create more spaces and communities that I actually want to be a part of. So like the podcast
Exactly.
or with our students, or I'm on Substack now, which is kind of like a blog. Love Substack so much. It's so much more, it's just not, yeah.
What I don't understand is that on my Substack, I write every Sunday. It's called Rest with Lizzie Lassiter, and it's basically about how I am not good at resting. And the comments that people write are so different than if I post the same, if I repurpose the same set of ideas and I write a newsletter, the comments people write are so thoughtful and vulnerable and actually like touch my heart and feel like a human to human exchange. And if I put the same message on an Instagram post, the comments, or there are no comments, or like it doesn't feel, or maybe there'll be an emoji and then I give an emoji back and then I'm like, we're just emojiing each other until we all die.
That's
Like,
going to change as soon as people discover it.
I know things shift and change. It's true, because I feel like Instagram wasn't like that, 8 years ago. So I guess for
The
me,
same people. People are people.
right. But I think that navigating the downsides of the internet just require a ton of cognitive flexibility and problem solving,
And
just
awareness
an
and
awareness, right?
yeah.
Awareness when it's detrimental to you, awareness when it's dragging down your energy and your life and your comparison and your FOMO. And we're going to have to teach our kids all of this too, and they're going to be really smart and adept at it. They're going to have to be.
Yes.
Well, the thing that I love about what we do is that we get to tell stories. And to bring it back to the menopause course, this is a way I feel like I'm pre-writing the story of my menopause, of what, how I, and I get to be surrounded by these wonderful teachers, Mary Richards and my mom, who are they're ahead on the path and they're telling me, go this way, go that way, avoid this. Try more of that. And that's the what is brilliant about humanity is our ability to pass on stories and
Yes.
share. And that's what I love about being in the education, the world of education and learning, because we get to offer someone a hand and take someone's hand. And that I think is so is, and I feel like I accept the terms of social media in order to get to do what I love to do, which is tell stories. And I also just try to consume strangely as little as possible.
I think that's well said. I mean, community and lifelong learning are where it's at, right? And I will say, having, Jason and I are really open about there's ADHD in our family, and so I follow a lot of adults with ADHD or with autism because there's a lot of overlap in those conditions. And so I follow like really fun, frivolous design things. And that's what I scroll on. I try not to, I use it as my own little mini educational place. And so for people who are looking for yoga, that's what they're probably looking at for, like they're following you, like, oh, this is inspiring. This is interesting. I want to learn more about this. So you're right.
Right.
There is like, you accept the terms if you want to share what you're trying to share.
And there is something magical where we have a course running right now, and Lizzie sent a list of the people checked in and they said where they were in the world. And I'm sure you've had this experience where there are people from every continent joining together willingly to create a sangha. A sangha, the people who practice together, And by the end of this course, if it is running true to the past, there is a definite connection. It's not face to face, but yet it has many of the attributes because there's one-on-one discussions and there's a feeling and an attitude and an intention that this is a personal practice. Would you agree, Lizzie?
Yeah, I found that so humbling and hopeful to read that list yesterday. It's people from all over Europe, all over the United States, Australia, Singapore, Hong Kong, Brazil, Norway, and Poland. And it's so heartwarming that people from those disparate backgrounds have somehow found their way together. It's a restorative yoga teacher training to learn, first of all, like we sneak them in there. We get them in saying you're going to learn how to teach restorative yoga, but secretly most of the course is about practicing restorative yoga
Right.
and like steeping your body in the silence and the practice, because that's the fundamental thing you need in order to share it. And so all these people have committed their time, energy, and resources to learn how to engage with an extremely like potent form of ahimsa nonviolence, which is lying down and like dealing with your own energy field.
Totally. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. And I'm with you. Every time we do a webinar and we see all the people from all over, it's like, it feels so good. It feels so good to connect with, like you said, to bring together this like-mindedness of like, let's just try to take care of ourselves so that we can take care of each other better.
Yeah. And like there's someone on our team in all of those places.
Right. Yeah, it's true. It's true. Yeah. Well, this has been amazing. Is there anything else you would like to add or anything you'd like to end on?
Well, I'm just so grateful that you've had us here, and I love your podcast.
Thank you.
Long time, first time, long time listener. No, I just want to thank you for all of what you and Jason do to put out such high quality, free yoga education content with the heart and with the personality and with the vocabulary.
Well, thank you. The gratitude and admiration is very much mutual. Very much.
I echo Lizzie's statement. It's easy to talk to you. And I enjoy your thoughtfulness and your sense of humor. And I'd like to end with a quote from an old person. That would be me. We think life is strong and love is fragile, but really it's the other way around. Life hangs by a thread and love holds the universe together. And isn't what we're doing with our practice and teaching of yoga helping people to love themselves and see the goodness in themselves and other people? Because life is incredibly short and fragile. But love, nothing can destroy love. We do our work with love, and how grateful I am that we have that choice. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Thank you both so much for being here. Lots of love.
Thank you. Love you, Mama.
I love you, Lizzie. Take care of your sweet self, both of you.
You too. You too. Thanks so much for listening. I will put links to Lizzie and Judith's info and their course, as well as the past interviews that I've done with them. I've done interviews with them together and separately on Yogaland. And so I'll put links to those on the show notes as well. And you can find those at yogalandpodcast.com/episode327. All right, everyone. Thank you so much for listening. And until next week, enjoy your practice.